Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reicher of Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. First on the docket, how could we not talk about the passing of the notorious RBG? Second, a case that will make you never want to meet anyone online ever again. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant winner of last week and our new contestant for the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reicher of Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. Now, if you haven't done so already, we'd ask that first you hit that subscribe button, hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we put up new content or go live, like we will go live tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. And always leave us a comment below. Before we get to the docket, we're putting out this video today a little early. Why? Well, I have to drive 3 hours each way for a court appearance today, so we're trying to get this done before I hit the road. Hopefully, Crime Talk 1 will be done here in the next couple of weeks, which will mean that I have my time machine back. But we're a realist, so we got to do what we have to do. All right, first on the docket, I'm sure most people have heard by now the passing of the notorious RBG. That's right, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She died of pancreatic cancer Friday evening. Big news. And let's do a quick recap of her life. If anyone has seen the movies regarding Ruth Bader Ginsburg, they are inspiring. And whether you agree with her politics or her analysis on the court, they're both worth watching. This woman is the epitome of never give up. And she changed the laws through the courts, not usually as a judge, but as an advocate, as a lawyer early in her career that benefits everyone today. So I would urge you to watch the movies On the Basis of Sex, which is a story of her life and the hurdles that she had to go through, as well as the documentary RBG. Obviously, Ruth Bader Ginsburg and the notorious RBG is a play based upon a famous rapper, and she has become an icon, particularly to many people in America, including lots and lots of young women. And she was, like I said, whether you liked her or not in her opinions, her story is very impressive. And what is, I think, a great story about Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the court was that her best friend on the court was Antonin Scalia. Antonin Scalia and Ruth Bader Ginsburg probably did not agree on anything politically or, in most cases, how court cases should, in fact, be decided. But they were the best of friends because they had a love of opera. And the two of them, two people you would think that couldn't get along or have anything to talk about, became very close friends. And I think that that is a good example of what we need more of in the world. You can agree to disagree about issues, but you can still be civil and nice to one another. Now, as we said, Ruth Bader Ginsburg died Friday evening of pancreatic cancer. And of course, before the news was even really scrolling across, there was already talk about her replacement. And let's face it, several years ago, when Antonin Scalia died, Merrick Garland was nominated by President Obama, and the Republicans at the time said, we're not going to get him through the process of confirmation. The next president should do it. And all the Republicans said, let's let the next president do it. Well, guess what? Like what happens in politics all the time, the scenario flips. And of course, now all the Democrats are saying, let the next president decide on the pick. And the Republicans are saying, no, let it go through. Now, the biggest distinction here was that at the time President Obama nominated Merrick Garland, the Democrats did not have control of the Senate, which the Republicans do now. Now, let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, there is enough hypocrisy to go around for everyone on the political spectrum as it relates to this. That's politics. That's what's frustrating about politics. But you would think, right? That's why we like laws. That's why we like rule of law, so that everybody knows what the rules of the game are. And let's face it, whether you like it or not, if there's a nomination, the Senate can hold hearings and give consent, which is their legal obligation under the Constitution. A lot of people are saying the president shouldn't do that. Ruth Bader Ginsburg's dying wish was that let the next president pick my successor. Well, that's not the way it works. That's nice. It's political for sure. But let's face it, the Senate will receive a nomination, whether it gets selected and whether advice and consent is given and the new judge will be appointed. We'll just have to wait and see. It's all politics, ladies and gentlemen, from here on out. Try to do anything other than to dismiss it as simply politics is simply, it's like I've said before, intellectually dishonest. The Republicans have plenty of hypocrisy to go around, and the Democrats have a ton of hypocrisy to go around as well, just like the Republicans, because let's face it, it's politics, and that's just the way it is. Now, Ruth Bader Ginsburg started her career. She was obviously a great student in high school. She received a full scholarship to Cornell University in New York, and ultimately, while at Cornell, she met her future husband, Marty Ginsburg, on a blind date. Ginsburg gave birth to her daughter in July of 1955, 14 months before starting Harvard Law School, where she was one of only 9 women in her class of approximately 500 people. Now, while she's at law school, she's also raising a child, attending classes, helping her husband, who's diagnosed with testicular cancer at the time, and still ultimately being the top of her class. She did not graduate from Harvard. She ultimately had to transfer to Columbia because Marty was ahead of her to finish her studies. And if you watch the movie On the Basis of Sex, you will see the injustices that she had to experience. This is a woman who graduated in the top of her law school class. Now, today, even when I went to law school, started, 26, 7, 8 years ago, whatever it was, the class was probably 50% male, 50% female. But back in the 50s, that was unheard of. So Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a trailblazer, and then to literally graduate number one in her class. So despite her top grades at Columbia, no law firm in New York would actually hire her after graduation. She described it in her words was that she had struck out on 3 grounds. She was Jewish, she was a woman, and a mother. She described that the first would raise an eyebrow, the second, two, the third made me indelibly inadmissible, is what she described. And she began ultimately clerking as a federal, she began a clerkship. She began a clerkship for a federal judge in New York who hired her only after the law professor who recommended her promised that he would supply a male lawyer if Ginsburg did not work out. She then went straight into teaching full-time, and then in the early 70s, she was hired as the first tenured female law professor at Columbia. During her time that she was teaching, she would also take cases. She ultimately argued 6 cases before the United States Supreme Court, winning 5. Most of her cases had to do with discrimination of either males or females based simply upon their sex. And she argued successfully to the Supreme Court that those restrictions were not equal under the law. Ultimately, the Supreme Court, as well as lower courts, found that they were unconstitutional. In 1980, President Carter appointed Ginsburg to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. When Justin Byron White announced his retirement in 1993, Ginsburg, who was at the age 60, was older than most nominees, was not necessarily regarded as a likely candidate for the opening. In 2013, President Clinton nominated her to be a United States Supreme Court Justice, and in his remarks nominating her for the Supreme Court, Clinton called Ginsburg a centrist, a consensus builder, and a judge who can be called a liberal or a conservative. But during her 27 years on the Supreme Court, Ginsburg was consistently one of the most liberal justices on the conservative-leaning bench. Perhaps as a result, Ginsburg wrote relatively few major opinions. One notable exception came early in her tenure at the court when she authored the 1996 decision holding that the Virginia Military Institute's policy of admitting only men violated the Constitution's Equal Protection Clause, which requires that people in similar situations receive the same treatment. Now, it was Ginsburg's dissents and her ornamental collars, known as jabots, that she wore over her judicial robes on the day that her dissents were announced, for which she was arguably best known. In some dissents, Ginsburg explained she wrote in the hope that the other branches of government would take action immediately to grant the relief that the Supreme Court had denied. Which obviously makes sense. The court is not a legislature, and therefore, if you want to change the law, Congress or the state legislators have to do that, not the courts. That's what defines Justice Ginsburg's theory, is that she believes that she could rewrite the laws to fit the situation of the day, whereas a more conservative justice would say, no, we have to interpret the law that's written, and if it's a poorly written law, it's not our job to fix it. You let the legislature do it. They're more likely to fix it if they don't like the decision from the court. So whether you agreed with Judge Ginsburg's politics or not, she lived a very impressive life. And where else but in America can a woman from very humble beginnings rise and sit on the United States Supreme Court for 27 years? She got there because she was crazy smart, wicked smart. And she should be remembered. And after she has been laid to rest, the politics are going to get even more heated. But those rules come from the United States Constitution, not the wish lists of people on the other side. And like I said, unfortunately, there's enough hypocrisy to go around in all of the political parties on this issue. Next on the docket, a case that will make you never want to meet anyone again online. Now, this case is an international case, but man, is it good. A 32-year-old victim was lured to an apartment by a woman that he met on Tinder and was attacked by her boyfriend, who was hiding in the bathroom with a brick and a knife. That's right. The victim allegedly had sex with a 27-year-old woman, and her 26-year-old boyfriend was apparently hiding in the bathroom, then emerged and began to bludgeon the man with a brick. The man was repeatedly stabbed until he died, and this took place in Jakarta, Indonesia. Now, I've actually been to Indonesia. Very nice place, lovely people. Didn't even know they allowed Tinder there because it's predominantly a Muslim country. Who knew? After killing the man, the couple didn't know what to do with the body, so they went out and bought a machete and a saw and began dismembering him inside the flat in Jakarta. So the pair is now accused of cutting the man's body into 11 pieces, which were then wrapped in plastic bags and stuffed into a backpack and one suitcase. The couple, obviously, what to do next? Once you chop people up and put them into suitcases, you book a ride-sharing car and took the dismembered remains with them to a different flat that they had rented using cash stolen from the victim's bank account. The boyfriend was shot by the police when the parts were found at the home last Wednesday. And the woman, who identified simply as by her initials, LAS, met the victim, RHW, on a dating app. Apparently, they agreed to meet and rented an apartment for 5 days. Once the man arrived at the rented apartment, apparently they began to engage in sexual relations, and that's when the victim came out with a brick and struck him 3 times and then stabbed him at least 7. Robbery was the motive, as the suspect thought the victim was well off financially due to his job as a human resource development manager at a construction company. The couple drained the victim's bank accounts, which had some $5,000 in it, and used cash to buy the motorcycle, gold, precious metals, and to rent the apartment where they were ultimately arrested. Apparently, the couple's plan was to ultimately bury the man's remains, but they never got around to it because they went on a shopping spree with his money. The police were able to trace the victim's movements, which ultimately led them to the apartment and the two suspects. Now, the male suspect resisted when the police arrived, and he was ultimately shot twice in both legs. Now, they face the death penalty if they are convicted based upon the charges of premeditated murder. I'm not that familiar with Indonesian law, but my understanding is things move rather quickly there and justice will be swift. Now, I don't claim to understand Indonesian law. However, I understand that it will be swift and decisive. We will follow this case. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that case should absolutely just about terrify anyone that has ever used a dating app or met somebody online. So please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service where you can search these people that you have questions about. You can do it anonymously so no one's going to know. And literally millions of public records are searched while you wait. You would not be able to do this on your own unless you searched thousands of public record databases. And to do that individually, you would miss one, or you just simply wouldn't have the time to do it. This report is generated while you wait, and the report will have information regarding emails, phone numbers, social media, criminal history, property records, marital records, all the things you want to know about a person that you are going to be meeting or if you are going to be getting romantically involved with. Go to crimetalksearch.com, please, and sign up today. It could potentially save your life. And next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant winner of the week. Last week, once again, you think you just can't find more contestants. They come at us every day. We cannot help it. But the winner from last week is Miss Cynthia Teeple. That's right. She is the woman that was found naked, gnawing on the horse's mane because it tasted like Laffy Taffy. Miss Teeple, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the week, and we are going to send you a mug. That's right. Congratulations. Now, please go to Teespring, the link below, where you can look at all the Crime Talk merch, and we got some new stuff up there. It's really cool, and you don't have to become a dumb criminal contestant to buy it. Go there. I think you're going to like the new stuff for sure. Now, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. It starts all over again, ladies and gentlemen. Take a look at this gentleman, 24-year-old Justin Savoy. Now, Mr. Savoy and his girlfriend ran into some trouble, all right? The police confronted Savoy and his female acquaintance after spotting suspicious activity at the woman's residence. Now, during a pat-down of Savoy, cops recovered a concealed handgun, marijuana, and drug paraphernalia. They ultimately seized several other guns from Savoy's truck, as well as a homemade silencer. So clearly, Mr. Savoy likes guns. Well, he was arrested and brought to the Lafourche Paris Sheriff's Office substation to be processed on a variety of these, obviously, criminal counts. And during the intake process, Mr. Savoy was subjected to a strip search that revealed he was in possession of yet another firearm. Now, obviously, this presents huge safety concerns for police officers since they patted him down, obviously, to make sure they didn't have any weapons before they put him in the police car. But that's why they do the police strip search, to make sure they didn't miss anything. And you're never going to guess where they found it. That's right. According to the police, Mr. Savoy had a .25 caliber Titan pistol concealed in his rear end. That's right. The handgun, which has a 2.5-inch barrel and measures 4.375 inches long, was loaded. So after Savoy's arrest, the Golden Meadow police told the press that whoever thought a .25 caliber pistol could be an assault weapon. Savoy was ultimately free on a $10,600 bond in advance of any plea and sentencing. Well, he ultimately pled guilty and he received a 5-year suspended prison sentence on the felony convictions during a district court sentencing. He was placed on 3 years probation in order to serve 90 days in the parish jail. This Louisiana man had a loaded pistol in his butt, ladies and gentlemen. Having a loaded pistol in and of itself is dangerous. I don't even want to know how he got it up there. Or two, why would he think that would be a good idea to put it there? That is just dumb, ladies and gentlemen. That is just dumb. I've had lots of cases with drugs, and lots of people have shoved them up various orifices of their body, but never a handgun. So, Mr. Savoy, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the day. And if you are lucky, you can be the dumb criminal contestant of the week and receive a Crime Talk mug for your intellectual genius, not to mention the ability to place various things in various orifices of your body. All right, that's all we have today. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back tomorrow, and we also have our live tomorrow evening. But now I got to go do some of that lawyer stuff. Have a great day.